Expanding West.
If you were there. You live in Ohio in 1840. A few months ago, you and your family heard stories about a wonderful land in the Northwest with sparkling rivers and fertile valleys. You all decide to pull up stakes and head west. You travel to Independence, Missouri, planning to join a wagon train on the Oregon Trail. In Missouri, you're surprised to find hundreds of other people planning to make the trip. What would you expect your journey west to be like?
Section 1. Trails to the West. Building background. Many Americans in the Jacksonian era were restless, curious, and eager to be on the move. The American West drew a variety of settlers. Some looked for wealth and adventure. Others, like this family on its way to the Northwest, dreamed of rich farmland and new homes. Americans move west. In the early 1800s, Americans pushed steadily westward, moving even beyond the territory of the United States. They traveled by canoe and flatboat, on horseback, and by wagon train. Some even walked much of the way. The rush to the west occurred in part because of a hat. The high hat, made of water-repellent beaver fur, was popular in the United States and Europe. While acquiring fur for the hats, French, British, and American companies gradually killed off the beaver population in the East. Companies moved west in search of more beavers. Most of the first non-Native Americans who traveled to the Rocky Mountains and the Pacific Northwest were fur traders and trappers. American merchant John Jacob Astor created one of the largest fur businesses, the American Fur Company. His company bought skins from Western fur traders and trappers who became known as mountain men. These adventurers were some of the first Easterners to explore and map the Rocky Mountains and lands west of them. Mountain men lived lonely and often dangerous lives. They trapped animals on their own, far from towns and settlements. Mountain men such as Jedediah Smith, Manuel Lisa, Jim Bridger, and Jim Beckworth survived many hardships during their search for wealth and adventure. To survive on the frontier, mountain men adopted Native American customs and clothing. In addition, they often married Native American women. The Indian wives of trappers often worked hard to contribute to their success. Pioneer William Ashley saw that frequently bringing furs out of the Rocky Mountains was expensive. He asked his traders to stay in the mountains and meet once a year to trade and socialize. This practice helped make the fur trade more profitable. The yearly meeting was known as the Rendezvous. At the Rendezvous, mountain men and Native American trappers sold their fur to fur company agents. It was thus important to bring as many furs as possible. One trapper described the people at a typical rendezvous in 1837. He saw Americans, Canadian French, some Europeans, and Indians of nearly every tribe in the Rocky Mountains. The rendezvous was filled with celebrating and storytelling. At the same time, the meeting was also about conducting business. Western artist Alfred Jacob Miller described how trade was begun in the rendezvous camp. The fur company's great tent is raised. The Indians erect their picturesque or beautiful white lodges. The accumulated or collected furs of the hunting season are brought forth, and the company's tent is a busy place. Alfred Jacob Miller, quoted in The Fur Trade of the American West by David J. Wishart. In 1811, John Jacob Astor founded a fur trading post called Astoria at the mouth of the Columbia River. Astoria was one of the first American settlements in what became known as Oregon Country. American Indians occupied the region, which was rich in forests, rivers, and wildlife. However, Britain, Russia, Spain, and the United States all claimed the land. The United States based its claim on the exploration of merchant captain Robert Gray, who had reached the mouth of the Columbia River in 1792. Recognizing the huge economic value of the Pacific Northwest, the United States made treaties in which Spain and Russia gave up their claims to various areas. The United States also signed treaties with Britain, allowing both countries to occupy Oregon Country, the the Columbia River, and its surrounding lands. By the 1840s, the era of American fur trading in the Pacific Northwest was drawing to a close. The demand for beaver furs had fallen because fashions changed. Too much trapping had also greatly reduced the number of beavers. Some mountain men gave up their work and moved back east. Their daring stories, however, along with the treaties made by the U.S. government, inspired other Americans to move west. Lured by rich resources and a mild climate, Easterners poured into Oregon country in the 1840s. These new settlers soon replaced the mountain men on the frontier. The Oregon Trail. Many settlers moving to Oregon country and other western areas followed the 2,000-mile-long Oregon Trail, which stretched from places such as Independence, Missouri or Council Bluffs, Iowa, west into Oregon country. The trail followed the Platte and Sweetwater rivers over the plains. After it crossed the Rocky Mountains, the trail forked. The northern branch led to the Willamette Valley in Oregon. The other branch went to California and became known as the California Trail. Traveling the trail challenged the strength and determination of pioneer families. The journey usually began after the rainy season ended in late spring and lasted about 6 months. The cost, about $600 for a family of four, was high at a time when a typical worker usually made about $1.50 per day. Young families made up most groups of settlers. They gathered in wagon trains for the trip. There could be as few as 10 wagons or as many as several dozen in a wagon train. The wagons were pulled by oxen, mules, or horses. Pioneers often walked to save their animals' strength. They kept up a tiring pace, traveling from dawn until dusk. Settler Jesse Applegate recalled the advice he received from one experienced Oregon pioneer. Travel. 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 Nothing is good that causes a moment's delay. Some pioneers brought small herds of cattle with them on the trail. They faced severe hardships, including shortages of food, supplies, and water. Rough weather and geographic barriers, such as rivers and mountains, sometimes forced large numbers of pioneers to abandon their wagons. In the early days of the Oregon Trail, many Native Americans helped the pioneers, acting as guides and messengers. They also traded goods for food. Although newspapers sometimes reported Native American massacres of pioneers, few settlers died from Indian attacks. The settlers who arrived safely in Oregon and California found generally healthy and pleasant climates. By 1845, some 5,000 settlers occupied the Willamette Valley. The Santa Fe Trail. The Santa Fe Trail was another important path west. It led from Independence, Missouri to Santa Fe, New Mexico. It followed an ancient trading route first used by Native Americans. American traders loaded their wagon trains with cloth and other manufactured goods to exchange for horses, mules, and silver from Mexican traders in Santa Fe. The long trip across blazing deserts and rough mountains was dangerous, but the lure of high profits encouraged traders to take to the trail. One trader reported a 2,000% profit on his cargo. The U.S. government helped protect traders by sending troops to ensure that Native Americans were not a threat. Mormons travel west. One large group of settlers traveled to the west in search of religious freedom. In 1830, a young man named Joseph Smith founded the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints in western New York. The members of Joseph Smith's church became known as Mormons. Smith told his followers that he had found and translated a set of golden tablets containing religious teachings. The writings were called the Book of Mormon. Church membership grew rapidly, but certain beliefs and practices caused Mormons to be persecuted. For example, beginning in the 1850s, some Mormon men practiced polygamy, a practice in which one man is married to several women at the same time. This practice was outlawed by the church in 1890. In the early 1830s, Smith and his growing number of converts left New York. They formed new communities, first in Ohio, then in Missouri, and finally in Illinois. All three communities eventually failed, and an anti-Mormon mob murdered Smith in 1844. Following Smith's murder, Brigham Young became head of the Mormon Church. Young chose what is now Utah as the group's new home, and thousands of Mormons took the Mormon Trail to the area near the Great Salt Lake, where they prospered. By 1860, there were about 40,000 Mormons in Utah. Summary and preview. Some of the first Americans to move west were fur traders and trappers. Settlers soon followed. In the next section, you will learn about the Texas Revolution. But first, review the main ideas of this section. Then, take some time to demonstrate what you've learned by answering the section assessment questions.